In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That verse, John 6:35, concludes our gospel passage this week. And if you turn in our prayer books to page 396, you will see the service for communion under special circumstances, which is the liturgy that I say with parishioners whenever I bring them communion in the hospital or at home, whenever their health or other circumstances prevents them from attending worship here on Sundays. And that verse, John 6:35, is one of the verses that our prayer book suggests as especially appropriate for the beginning of that liturgy. And it is the one that I almost always use. So that when I hear those words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty," my mind immediately goes to that Eucharistic meal. I imagine that for many of you, that is also the case. Whenever we hear phrases like "true bread," "bread of heaven," "bread of life," those of us who are familiar with the weekly celebration of the Eucharist that we enjoy here at St. Andrew's or at other churches that place the Eucharist at the center of their worship life, we immediately think of the sacrament of Christ's body and blood upon which we feast each week. And that is a good thing. It is good that we have been formed as people. We have been formed as people who know what Jesus is revealing to that crowd who tracked him down in Capernaum 2,000 years ago. We are blessed by that knowledge. And we are blessed to have been able to come together this morning with the confidence, the expectation that no matter what else happens today, no matter what else happens at this Mass this morning, no matter whether I, the priest, or anyone else assisting in the leading of worship does right or wrong at various points in the service, no matter whether you get anything out of this sermon, we know that when we showed up here this morning, that the Holy Spirit was going to show up with us and answer our prayers, that the bread that we offer at this table be turned into that very same bread of life about which Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, the bread of life, the body of Christ. What an extraordinary thing it is to be a follower of Christ, a regular partaker in that great heavenly banquet. But that crowd in Capernaum had no such confidence, no such expectation, no such practice. These words from Jesus were mysterious and baffling, though also full of promise. That crowd was there at the beginning of this revelation. The beginning of a revelation of a truth that has sustained God's people for 2 millennia. A truth that will sustain us again today. That through Jesus of Nazareth, through the very incarnate Word, God would feed His people on eternal bread. Now, this revelation spans the entirety of the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. And it is a central truth in our lives as Christians, a central truth in the ongoing work of God's church. As a result, our lectionary, the selection of scripture readings that we hear on Sundays, does something rather unusual when it gets to the sixth chapter of John's Gospel in year B of our lectionary, which we are in. It dedicates 5 consecutive weeks to John's sixth chapter, all of which focus on the revelation of Jesus as the bread of life. And as a result, we have, over the course of these 5 weeks, we have the opportunity to, in a sense, slow down and really ponder what this means, that Jesus is the bread of life. We are now in week 2 of those 5 weeks. Week 1, last week, began with Jesus on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, where a large crowd is following because they have heard of his miracles. And when it becomes clear that there is not enough food to feed everyone, Jesus performs what would become one of his most memorable miracles. He feeds the crowd of 5,000 with 5 loaves. A miracle that is significant not only because of just how amazing that is, but also because of the deeper truth to which it pointed. Remember what Jesus did before that crowd in last week's passage. It covers the first 21 verses of 6th chapter. He took the loaves in his hands. And then he gave thanks for them. He prayed over them. And then Jesus himself distributed the bread to the 5,000. And then when they were done, Jesus instructed his disciples to gather up the fragments, the leftovers, so that nothing would be lost. This bread was something to be saved, something to be treasured, something to be set aside. Remember those steps as you participate in Holy Eucharist here today, and as we ponder the continuing revelation over these next few weeks. We are now in the second week. And it is clear that the crowds that follow Jesus want more. They're not satisfied by the abundance of bread that filled their belly just the day before. They want more bread, more signs, more miracles from Jesus. And instead of giving them more of what will not ultimately sustain them, Jesus begins instructing the crowds, revealing to the crowds that though they are seeking fulfillment from the bread of this world and from whatever momentary signs Jesus might provide, there is a deeper hunger that he is here to fill. As he tells the crowd, Jesus himself is the very bread of life, the one who satisfies our deepest hunger and quenches our deepest thirst. And that is where this week's passage ends. Over the next 3 weeks, we will continue the journey through this sixth chapter of John's Gospel. And next week, the third week, we will hear how the members of the crowd are baffled by the notion that this son of Joseph, this man whose mother and father they know, could somehow claim to be bread from heaven. So Jesus reveals more about how this bread is a source of life eternal, and then even more shockingly, how this bread is his flesh. In the fourth week, we will hear the correlation of bread and flesh and how it shocked that crowd. How Jesus then speaks even more astonishingly about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Words that, though they may sound familiar to us, were unimaginable to that crowd in Capernaum. And in the final week, we will hear how many in the crowd chose not to follow Jesus any further because of how difficult it was for them to accept this teaching about the bread of life. As we continue this journey through the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, I want to encourage you to ponder the mystery of this revelation. Consider how shocking it must have been to that crowd, and how shocking it should continue to be for us today. We are doing something wonderfully peculiar when we gather for worship each week. No matter the scarcity or the excesses of our particular lives, we each come to this table assured of an equal place at God's great heavenly banquet, at this extraordinary feast. And we know that there will always be more than enough at this table. The more that we share this feast, the more of this feast there is to share. As we gather at this table and take part in the feast of Christ's body and blood, we may not realize just how well fed we are. We may not see that God has provided for us here at this table all that we really need. But that is exactly what is happening.